Morning.
Morning, Jack.
Before I start, a couple of things I wanted to say. It's almost 2 years now that we've moved up here. I think about this time, 2 years back, we was just sold our house and we'd arranged to buy this other place where we are now. And everything was going through. And then Karen was searching the internet, maybe before, to find a church, a fellowship. And she came across this fellowship. And I've often thought about this fellowship in the fact that it wasn't by chance that Karen came across this fellowship. I firmly believe that God directed us to this fellowship. And I'll tell you why, because this fellowship has been such a blessing to us as a family. It's like a family. And all the time that we've been here, I often pinch myself and think, boy, why didn't we come earlier? But you see, it's all in God's timing. We had to go other places before we could really appreciate what we've got. Another thing I wanted to say that woke me up today, and I'm glad that David and Kelly are here, because it says, what woke me up was, and Jesus said, suffer little children to come unto me. And you know, I was listening to the little girl laughing and all that. And sometimes I think as parents, you can feel, oh boy, shut up, keep quiet and everything. But you know, Jesus says, assuredly, I say to you, unless you change and become as little children, you will by no way enter into the kingdom of heaven. Like children who implicitly trust their parents, believers trust God. Faith is not about knowing everything or doing everything right. It is about knowing that no matter what happens, our Father will take care of us. That trust in Him, even when life is terrifying and sad and we've got problems, makes no sense. But when, as believers, we are like children, because all those the Father gives me will come to, all those the Father gives me will come to me. And whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. God loves His children. I'd like to turn my first scripture is John, 1 John 4. First John 4, verse 7 to 8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. It's quite simple. God is love. The word love in English is really not a very good word in the fact that it has so many different ways of saying love. You know, I love my wife. I also love a full English breakfast. And I love to watch a good movie. Prince Charles, when asked by a reporter once, do you love her? He sort of mumbled and said, whatever love is. Well, God is love. Love as a word describes an emotion with vastly differing degrees of intensity. We can say we love ice cream and chocolate. And yet we can pledge our love to a husband and wife until our dying days. Love is one of the most powerful emotions we can experience. And the Bible tells us that God is love. I'd like to go through four Greek words that are in the New Testament that describe love. The words are philia, storge, eros, and agape. In turn, they mean friendship or brotherly love, natural affection, romantic, and lastly, God's divine love. So philia or philia, friendship or brotherly love. This type of love is most often shown within close friendship. This is a generous and affectionate love that seeks to make the other person happy with no expectations for acts of kindness in return. This love is between good friends. And David and Jonathan were a fine example of this love. In 1 Samuel 17, 1 Samuel 17, this is just after, and it was verse 53 it starts, and then it's just a couple of verses in 18. But it's after Goliath was killed. Then the children of Israel returned from chasing the Philistines, and they plundered their tents. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem and put his armour in his tent. Now when Saul saw David going out against the Philistine, he said to Abner, the commander of the army, "Abner, whose son is this youth?" And Abner said, "As your soul lives, O king, I do not know." And the king inquired, "Whose son this young man is?" And then David returned from the slaughter of the Philistines, and Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of Goliath. And Saul said to him, "Whose son are you, young man?" And David answered, "I am the son of your servant Jesse." And it was so when they had finished speaking, when the king had finished speaking to Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David. And Jonathan loved David as his own soul. Saul took him that day and would not let him go home to his father's house anymore. And then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan took off the robe that was on him and gave it to David with his armour and even his sword, his bow and his belt. Jonathan loved God. And in 2 Samuel 23, it tells us, verse 17. And Jonathan said to him, "Do not fear, for the hand of Saul, my father, shall not find you." This is when Jonathan was hiding David. "You shall be king over Israel, and I shall be next to you. Even my father knows that." You see, when Jonathan gave his garments to Saul, to David, in the East, clothes of rich robes the giving of clothes, rich robes, is a token of respect and friendship. In the East, frequently arms and clothing were presented by warriors to each other in token of friendship. This act now made David a prince in Saul's kingdom. What he did announce in public was that David was the rightful heir to the throne. Filial love is shown toward people we feel warm to and affectionate to. The type of intimate love in the Bible that we as believers should have towards one another. The next word for love is storge. This is natural affection. This is like family. In Greek, the word means between the love between family members. Storge love is family love, the love between parents and their children. The Bible declares, love one another. If we can't love our nearest and dearest family, how can we love other people? God gave us family to love. In Romans 12, verse 9 and 10. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honour, giving preference to one another. In Romans 10:12, in Romans 12:10, sorry, it says, love one another with brotherly affection. We find an interesting compound of the two words, phileo and storge, joined together to translate the word, which is philostorgos, and it means to cherish one's kindred. Believers in Christ, children of the same Heavenly Father, are to be devoted to one another in love. As part of God's family, we too should be devoted and showing affectionate love one to another. We became followers of Yeshua when we enter into his family, the family of God. Our lives are bound together now, stronger than physical ties. The bonds of spirit is what we're bound with. We are related by something more powerful than human blood. It's the power of Yeshua, it's the blood of Yeshua. God calls his family to love one another with deep affection of storge love. The next word is eros. Eros is the Greek word for sensual or passionate love. Even though the term is not found in the New Testament, in the Old Testament Song of Solomon, God shows how loving he can be. Now, many believe this portrays the passion of God's love for Israel. Others believe it's referring to the marriage between Yeshua and his bride, the true believers. And this is debatable between rabbis and theologians worldwide. On this one, I can only offer my own thoughts, because I believe it is referring to Yeshua and his bride, true believers. The last word is agape. Agape is the greatest love there is. And this is the love that God has for his own children, and the love that was displayed in action on the cross. In John 3:16, it tells us, "For God so loved the world," and that the word love is agape, the world, "that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." This is the very love of God, and it is divine, self-sacrificing love. A man had Alzheimer's, and every day his wife goes to visit him at the care home. She sits with him, she shares the meal with him, and she speaks to him. He's not giving back in any way, and isn't in a state where he can physically take care of himself. She loves him, but also she loves him intimately after years and years of living together. Recently, while visiting her husband, she noticed a man who was taking care of his wife in the same way and with the same level of devotion. She was in a far worse state than her husband, and yet he remained steadfast. When she asked him about his wife, after engaging him in casual conversation, he replied, "I made an unselfish vow when we married to be with her in sickness and in health." You know, the highest love of all is agape. And this love is of God, the love that he had for us by dying for the ungodly, wicked sinners who were enemies of him. In Romans 5, 6 to 10, "For when we were still out without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would die, dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us, in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." It is easy to love ourselves and to love others with philo and storge kind of love. But to love someone with a godly or divine kind of love as agape, we must put others before ourselves. As Yeshua died for unworthy sinners. It is an unselfish love, a love that is outwardly displayed toward others and hopefully God, and it isn't based on a person's performance or how they treat us. If we really do love God, then we will obey his commandments. And he says, "If you keep my commandments," well, I'll turn there, John 14 verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Paul knew his Greek. And he told the Corinthians church and us in 1 Corinthians 13 that if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not agape love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. In other words, if we don't love the body of Christ, true believers, with a godly, self-sacrificing, agape love, we're just making a lot of useless noise. And again, in English, our word love can be a verb and a noun, because it's what we do much more than what we say. Each November, I remember John 15, verse 12 and 13. And it says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, to lay down one's life for his friends." Christ-like love is a beautiful thing. To love unselfishly, regardless of another person's maturity or theological depth or moral purity, is to love like God. It reveals a heart transformed by the gospel. True holiness is a beautiful thing, avoiding the conformity of this world. This is a sign of a heart satisfied with the promises and pleasures found only in the gospel that exceed anything the world can offer. And I think we can understand this in when we get people that perhaps stars, they have all the money, the fame, but there's still something missing. And perhaps some of them sort of join weird religious things like the Scientology group. But it's because they're seeking for something that money can't give us, wealth it can't give us. Only God can give it to us. And he calls us. You know, I was talking to Paul earlier that some people think they've lost God. But God doesn't get lost. You know, we've drifted from God. God, you know, God is still there. As the end of this age gets nearer, we need, as a church, as a fellowship, to have strong bonds between each other. Because in some cases, family may turn against family. And at the moment, it seems unthinkable that would happen. But let's remind ourselves of Matthew 10. In Matthew 10, 17 to 22. "But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils and scourge you in the synagogues. And you will be brought before governors and kings for my sake, as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak, for it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speaks, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. Now brother will deliver brother to death, and father his child, and children will rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But he who endures to the end shall be saved." Agape is the highest type of the four loves that we can have. This term defines God's immeasurable, incomparable love for humankind. It is the divine love that comes from God, agape love. It's perfect, unselfish, sacrificial, and pure. Yeshua demonstrated this kind of love to his Father and to all humanity in the way that he lived and died. The greatest gift, 1 Corinthians 13. Sorry, 1 Corinthians 13. Two to seven. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and knowledge, and have I all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, this is agape, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not agape love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind, does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked and thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Yeshua set the example for us as believers to follow.
Jeff's asked, would we sing this song to conclude this message? We'll sing this song. We'll sing another song after it to take our offering. So we won't take our offering just yet, Keith. We'll treat this as a ministry song. Let's just worship the Lord. Let's focus on him. Worship the Lord as we sing this. We'll sing another one after it.
Comprehension, like nothing. together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God.
Amen. Amen.
Yes, Father, we stand in awe of you, Lord. You are beautiful beyond description. Your love is so vast, so wonderful, Father. We pray as a congregation here, Father, that you will give us that love that we can share with others. The love agape. Thank you, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Well, thank you, Jeff, for that. Praise God. Well, we will take our offering now. And we'll close with Steve's song that we sang a couple of weeks ago. Hallelujah. To walk in your love for one another, to obey the commands you've given us to love one another as you have loved us. Lord, we need your grace and we need your enabling to do this. But thank you that you will do that if we ask you. So, Lord, we bless and praise you. Thank you for our time, Lord. Thank you for our service this morning. Thank you for your presence amongst us. We pray as we go that you will help us to go in your grace and your mercy and your strength. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Hallelujah. There is tea and coffee and biscuits.